Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Well, if you're not standing, stand on your feet, and we're going to go right into the Word of God. And just so thankful. Give the Lord a big hand today. He's just working it out. My title, or if I need a title, it's Preparation for the Outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, and some of you were preparing this week for that. Well, sometimes it takes a little while to get prepared, and you understand that as I go with the message. You need to bring me down a little bit. I'm a little bit too loud. I know I get a little excited, but I don't want to blow nobody up. Acts chapter 1, verses 14 through 26. Read the responding verses. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Men and brethren, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. Now this man purchased a field, the wages of his iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst upon on the middle, and all his entrails gushed out. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his dwelling place be desolate, let no one live in it, and let another take his office. Beginning from the baptism of John to the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And they prayed and said, you, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen. Verse 26 together. And they cast their lot, and the lot fell on Matthias. He was numbered with the 11 apostles. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, the time allotted me today will give me an opportunity to share with the folks today that things that led up to the preparation of the outpouring of the Spirit were crucial. And Lord, even for us, even though it's not so much that we have to, the Holy Spirit is already here. He's already baptizing folks. He's already demonstrating himself. But Lord, for some of us this is good news or new news for us, help us to be prepared and know there's something that needs to happen to us if we really want the Holy Spirit to have direct contact in our life and to guiding all of our steps. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just speak through me, that I would prepare your people for that which you have in store for them. I ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Well, the uncertainty of the future of America is something that cannot be ignored in light of the political menu of candidates. You know how I put that out there in a nice way. Political menu of candidates. That is set before us. Although many of us may sit and wonder in amazement trying to figure out how we got where we are, the Holy Spirit has not lost his footing or ability to change the plans of any person or any party. The Holy Spirit has not lost control. He's not Democrat, he's not Republican, he's for Jesus. And we're going to learn some things today I think will be helpful to us, because the one responsibility that all of us have is to be filled with the Spirit of God. That's your first assignment. And everything else is going to fall in its rightful place. Here's my questions. Have you made it a priority to seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit's operation in your life? Never mind about everybody else. What about you? It's so easy to point fingers at other folks. Isn't that right? Oh, they ought to be doing this and they need to do that. No. What is the Holy Spirit doing in your life? How can he make a difference in you? Secondly, how does the idea of preparing to receive the Holy Spirit, preparing for the Holy Spirit create a glorious anticipation? Now, some of you don't know what to expect. I don't want you to expect what, I want you to expect who. Because the Holy Spirit is not an it, it's a him, it's a he. It's a person that guides you into all truth and righteousness. Because for many years, people have treated the Holy Spirit as kind of like this add-on. Well, he's not an add-on. He's your life. He's the center of where all good things come from. How about this? Have you reached a place where you are willing to remain in a constant posture of surrender in order to allow the Holy Spirit unlimited access to your life? Here's the words we need to emphasize on. Surrender. Constant access. Those are tough words. But when you do, I guarantee you, your life will change. Well, watch this. Preparation for the filling of the Spirit, verse 13 says that of our original text, it says the idea that what happened here is it lists some people. It says, and when they had gone, they had entered, they went up into the upper room, and there were staying there Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. And, of course, the women and this other type of thing. What, the reason why I wanted us to look at this particular thing, I'm going to just give you just kind of an overview of who you're dealing with. Because all y'all different. Come on, say amen. You're an original. There are no copies. God said, that's enough. We got that one. Okay. But deal with this. All the apostles, Jesus' family, and other disciples were waiting in the upper room. Now, there's one thing that they shared in common. And there's one thing that every person in this room should share in common. And if you don't, you're going to be very uncomfortable for the next 45 minutes. They shared a common loyalty to Jesus. Huh? They were there because Jesus told them to go there. You see, why'd you come? I came to church and my mama said I should come on Mother's Day. Good luck. Because when Mother's Day's over, you won't have much. But if you're here because you want to hear from Jesus, or you're here because you feel a loyalty or are drawn to Jesus, something's going to happen in your life before you leave here. Because Jesus is the only thing we can offer you that's going to have an impact in your life. Well, they share that. They still are in the process, just like any other thing. Because remember, it's only been 50 days since Jesus' departure. Well, actually 40 days since his departure. And since his resurrection, it was 10 days after he said, wait for me there. But the whole process after his resurrection was 50 days. And then 10 days, he says, wait in Jerusalem. So we'll make it a total of 50. But the point is that they're going through this grieving process because Jesus dies, resurrected from the dead. Then he leaves again thinking, how are we going to deal with this? We see him ascending into heaven, and the angel comes and says, why are you standing here looking up into the heavens? The same Jesus that went this direction, he's coming back again. You got a job to do. Some of us are still stargazing. And God wants to empower you to be one that's going to make a difference in this world. So they were hanging on to a frail thread of anticipation and not knowing what truly to expect. One person told me this a long time ago. Says, you know, some people just get to the place where they're just barely hanging on. So, Pastor, I just can't hang on. Honey, tie a knot in the end and hang on. Feeling kind of frail? Because a change is going to come. Now watch this. But there were some relationships that needed to be rebuilt during the time of waiting. Do you know why God sometimes delays his coming? Because he needs to fix us. I'm not going to ask for you to vote whether you need to be fixed or not. We already know. But I'm just pull out a few people from the text here that needed to have a makeover, okay? There were some who needed to forgive Peter for his denial of Jesus. And some of us sitting in this room right now, there are people in this room or outside of this room that we need to forgive before the Holy Spirit can fill your life. Woo! I thought we were going to have a happy Mother's Day. Sorry. You should have turned into Joyce Meyer the other day. She had a nice Mother's Day mess. But let me work with you on that one. They're struggling with the idea that, I don't know why they let Peter be up in the room here, because he's the one that denied Jesus, and how he got here, I don't think it's really fair. 120. If you just don't think that came up in conversation, you're kidding yourself. And all the time, the Holy Spirit knows this. I know how to fix him. On the day of Pentecost, that's exactly who I'm going to use. The most unlikely candidate you think that God would ever use, he will use them. You know why? To straighten you up. Not because they're better, but you need to be fixed. Well, glory. Peter's denial may have reminded them of their own denials internally that needed to be confessed in prayer. Because Peter acted it out. You know what? Some of the Christians are, they're so funny. They say, I would never do that. You thought about it. But you just scared you're going to get caught. Not because you have anything against it. But you don't want to be on the headlines. Or you don't want to be on Facebook, okay? That's the only reason why you don't do some of your stuff, because Facebook will tell your story before you get home, okay? So you're not as sage as we thought you were. Well, praise God. Amen. Okay. Some may have needed to deal with some relationships that they have with people that they need to confess their language and bad witness that they displayed in the way they talked. Because remember what Peter was like? He says, you were one of them. He says, dag nabbit, I was not. No, he didn't say dag nabbit. He probably said something much worse. But Peter literally swore. I don't know what word he used, but everybody, they wrote it down in the book that he just swore. He was ticked. He says, I am not one of them. Now, here's what's interesting. You may have never adamantly denied Jesus, but you might as well have, because you've ignored him. His promptings, the things he's been telling you to do. Let me move on quickly. Doubting Thomas was there in spite of what he declared would have to occur in order for him to truly believe in Jesus. Remember Doubting Thomas, he was the one who says, unless I put my finger in his, or no, my fist in his side and my finger in the holes of his hands, I will not believe it's Jesus. Now, most of you are much more sophisticated than that. Some of you are saying, well, you know, the verdict really truly isn't in, because there are some scientific discoveries that go contradictory to the Bible discoveries, and I'd like to just take an intelligent look at this before I make my final choice as to whether this is God is true or not. And when I come to that conclusion, then I'll cast my final vote. Jesus is not waiting to be validated by you. I got a word for you. Life goes on. But here's how it works. His demand for proof was addressed by Jesus, who let him know that seeing does not always produce belief. Because seeing is believing. Some of the things you thought you saw were not true. Some of us have an imagination and we draw things into circles that were never there. We hear things that were never said. Come on now. I dare you to get married. No. Dare you. I dare you, double dog dare you. Because you will find yourself having said something. You told me I was, and I didn't say, yes, you did. I heard you with my own ears, and you said so and so. He said, baby, I didn't say that. Yes, you did. Faulty memory. Memory loss. You're in tough shape. Yeah. Jesus, help me. There were those in the room that no doubt were struggling with doubts on a number of levels. And I want to be real honest with you. There are people in this room today that still have doubts about who Jesus really is. You went to Sunday school, went to an altar call, went to all those type of things. But you know when you doubt Jesus? When things don't go your way. Or don't go the way you thought it should go. Or don't go the way you planned it. Then all of a sudden, well, Jesus, if you're really Jesus, you would have done this, but evidently you're not, so I don't know whether I can trust you or not. Really? I got something for you. Just wait. It's coming. Some may have questioned why Judas was allowed to be a disciple in the first place. Well, I got news. Some people are wondering why you're still here. Jesus. Happy Mother's Day. Let me get on to something that's a little more painful, okay? How about this? James and John were there in spite of the quest for power and control. Now, you remember James and John? John, their mother comes to me, you know, Jesus, could you have my sons, when you get into your kingdom, could one of them sit on the right and could one of them sit on the left? Now, don't blame his mama for saying this. Her two sons put her up to it. Mama, would you ask Jesus if my brother and I could sit on the right and the left? You are not that cute. It's obvious they had some pride issues. And I know none of you are struggle with pride, so I should go on to the next thing, but I need to marinate there for the benefit of those people here that do need help. You don't need any help, okay? But they needed to confess. This is in the upper room. Now, remember, these people are waiting with Jesus, the 120, and they needed to confess and renounce the whole idea of wrangling for position or preference. Because you folks say, oh, it doesn't really matter. Oh, never mind. I really don't care. Yes, you do. Come on. Yes, you do. Now, it doesn't mean you should, but yes, you do. The only way we can be healed, and the only thing that's the reason why it took so long, is they had to come together in unity to realize, so it doesn't matter who Jesus promotes. It doesn't matter who Jesus uses. We just want to be in a place where he can use us like he desires to. That should be our goal. The need to be seen and recognized needed to be quashed. Let me just review a couple more people before I quit and move on. John the Beloved was there needing to be to defend his perceived preferential relationship with Jesus. You've seen the picture of the Last Supper, and there's one who's leaned over on Jesus' chest or on his breast. And so they were saying, well, John, why don't you ask Jesus who's going to betray him, this type of thing. It was obvious that even when Jesus went to the cross, he asked John to take care of his mother. Some of us have issues with it, with people that seemingly get preferential treatment by Jesus that we always wanted. Now, don't move, otherwise they'll know. They all need to work through and accept the fact that Jesus honored him with the privilege to care for his mother. Grace needed to be extended to cover the things about his relationship with Jesus that they did not understand. You know what I found out a long time ago? You are as close to Jesus as you want to be. He'll never reject you and push you away. He says, well, they're just close to Jesus. They just hear from God all the time. Really? Do you think it might have cost him something to get that way? You need to put your jealousy aside and put Jesus first in your life, and I guarantee you, you'll get closer and closer and closer and closer. There, you know, to the point where you hear his voice, you hear his spirit, and that type of thing, but you're as close to Jesus right now as you want to be. I'm insulted. So what? I'm just telling you the truth. He'll never push you away. He's always saying, come. Well, there's more to it. There were issues in other members of Jesus' family that needed to be worked out. Because when they have the upper room experience, there's a reason why they call out the people that were his. And all these continued in one prayer with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Now remember, the people that really didn't deserve to be there were his family, because there were some family issues. And there's only a couple of verses that talk about it. But at one time, remember, his family came to him and said, Jesus, what you doing in there? You need to come out here and go with us. I don't know what you're hanging around those folks with. You need to be with the rest of your family. Families are interesting groups of people. Can't nobody mess with you like your family. Oh, no, no, no. They know the inside. They can push them buttons that nobody knows where they're at. But guess what? They're invited. Because the Lord wanted to reconcile all of these thoughts. If you could get this group of people together, the Holy Spirit can get some work done. If the Holy Spirit, as we allow him to, can get refine these issues that are sitting in this body right now, and I'll tell you our way out of this, you're going to see a miraculous outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Well, there are other relationships that need to be worked out. Mary Magdalene was there, no doubt. And she was the Miss Undesirable. The woman was a woman of ill repute. Lady of the night. Prostitute. Do I need to go further?
No.
Thank you. But she's there. What? She doesn't deserve to be there. Neither do you. Can we put your sins up on the screen today? Do a little overview of your life and just kind of just... Nicodemus, no doubt, was there. And actually, you could indict him by saying, you know, Nicodemus, you were one of the Pharisees. You had a lot of influence. You came to Jesus by night, but you could have stopped the whole thing. Well, of course, it wasn't God's will, but you could have made some sort of protest for Jesus being arrested. Did he do it? No. How about Joseph of Arimathea, the fellow who's the rich guy? Well, the only part he plays, he offers Jesus a tomb. Nice. You offer him a tomb. Great. We can all have issues with all different types of people for all different types of reasons, but I want to tell you, they were all there waiting on the very same promise. Let me move very quickly, because there's one common thing that they persevered in. The Bible says, and they continued with one accord in prayer. Well, they stayed there because of their love for Jesus, and they believed they would honor the Lord, honor his word with the promise of the Spirit, and they allowed themselves to become vulnerable to one another. Now, vulnerability, accountability, those particular words we don't particularly like, but that's the way that the Holy Spirit works with us. There are people in this room that you thought you could never be friends with. I'm sure, that's true. They're not my type. You know, I'm a type A, they're a type B, C, I don't know, I don't really care. But the A's and I, we really get along. Huh? We find ourselves being dismissive. We find ourselves being very particular, selective. But God was doing something. They chose to do what had never been done before. Now let's get into this. They're contending in prayer, realize some practical principles regarding prayer. I'm going to run through these 10 things real quickly. We'll go through them in a snap. First one is prayer brings unity. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You call a prayer meeting and you say, especially if something's going on. Now, when we went through 9/11, honey, the churches were packed. Everyone went, oh, God, help us. Don't let them do anything more to our city. Don't let them bomb any. Don't let them tear down any more buildings. Everybody was on one thing, God, help us. It brings unity. Let a tragedy happen in Portland. Let the earthquake happen in Portland. I guarantee you the churches will be filled. You know why? Because we're going to be unified. Oh, God, help us. Oh, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. You know why? We're trying to save our skin. Are we thinking about the lost? No, we're thinking about us. God's going to help us with that. Number two, prayer exposes true needs. Let the doctor tell you he sees a little something funny on the x-ray. Girl, I just came back from the doctor and they see something funny on my x-ray. I need you to pray right now. Drop what you're doing. Drop to your knees, sister. Call, grab the horns of the altar in my behalf. Come on. Number three, prayer opens hearts. When it's honest, genuine prayer, our hearts will be open to people that weren't before. Number four, prayer commands the presence of Jesus. He's, you know what he says? Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be in the midst. I guarantee you, if you want God's presence here, just start calling on Jesus, one or two of you at the same time. He shows up every single time. He never misses that opportunity. So it commands the presence of God. Number five, cleanses the soul. Oh, if you ever want to figure it out, when David figured out what a wretch he was, he got into the psalm and says, oh, Lord God, I'm a mess. I'm a wreck. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. God is the only one who can do that. But it's prayer that we've got to entertain. Number six would say this. Prayer will change our perspective to his will. We sang that song this morning. The reason it just got in me is that, you know, I'm going to ask God for what I want, but I'm going to thank him for what I get. I may want it to be different, but you know what? If that scripture is absolutely correct, all things work together for my good. I'm going to pray, God, this is what I desire. But you know what? Not my will, but your will be done. You know, I may think I know what I want, but God, today, I'm willing to accept your will. I will accept the will of God because you will perfect those things concerning me because you are God. Number seven, prayer will bring confession of wrong. Ooh, yes. Because the Holy Spirit will show up and say, before you continue your prayer list, let's talk about you. Because you got issues. Before you start casting demons out of everyone else, Jesus, help me, Lord, right now. I'll move on to number eight. I'll circle back and get you later on, okay? Prayer will confront hypocrisy. Ever prayed about somebody over an issue that they had, that you had, that's worse than theirs? The Holy Spirit will point it out to you. He says, why are you praying to me about her when we need to be praying about you? Prayer is a divine mirror that will reflect back to you saying, oh. Got to move on. Number nine. This is the part, this is a hallelujah spot. Prayer will remove spiritual roadblocks. Hallelujah. That's when you come in the name of Jesus. Things that you couldn't move, things that you can't change, but there's power in the name of Jesus. That's when you begin to cast out devils. That's when you can cast out spirits. In the name of Jesus, I cast this out because according to the will of God, I have the authority, the will of God, and this no longer can have power or dominion in my life. That's the kind of prayer. Now, I admit, you don't have to shout the devil, but I like doing it. But the resolve, according to the word of God, is it? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. That's right. And the last one I say, the best for last is, prayer will heal strained relationships. Now, you know what? I'm smart enough to figure this out, or old enough, whichever one you want to use. I don't matter. Some of you sitting in this house today have a strained relationship with somebody else sitting in this house today. Right. I said, what? Right. Why'd you want to bring that up? I'm going to tell you why I brought it up so you can get it straight.
Come on,
man. Come on. Long she stay on her side, I'm cool. Because you folks are like robots. Some of you are right-hand folk. Some of you are left-hand folk. And when I'm sitting there praying, I can almost predict what role you're going to sit in, how you're going to look, how you're going to posture yourself. Now, some of you were very a rower, too. Not much. But side, honey, you gonna see, you can be on one side or the other. That's all there is to it. Hatfields and McCoys. You've been like that for the Lord knows how long.
That's true.
But I'm going to pray it out of you. And one of these Sundays, just because the Holy Spirit may tell me, I'm going to say, switch sides. See, I just can't praise left-handed. The anointing just ain't over here like it is over there. Well, let me finish quickly. God help us. When they finished praying, they discovered a deep love for one another. In other words, true unity can only be found when we choose to love one another. They discovered that there were a lot of things that they had not thought about one another that really weren't true. They're willing to choose to love to cover faults and weaknesses in one another. Now listen to this carefully. We cannot experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit if we hold offenses. John 16, verse 8. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now it says world there, and you're saying, well, I'm not worldly. Just skip that for a second. And work on the word here, convict. He'll convict you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. The Holy Spirit will never condemn you. Never, 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 but he will convict you. What does that mean? Holy Spirit will convict us of our shortcomings and issues that we must be willing to listen to his promptings and obey. Conviction of the Spirit far overrules condemnation that we often express our disagreement. Now here's the piece that we'll spend some time with. Peter proposed that they seek the Lord to find the replacement for Judas. I'm going to run through this real quickly. Verses 23 through 26. Here we go. And they rose to Joseph and called Barsabbas, and he was surnamed Justus and Matthias. They prayed and said, you, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, of which of these two have been chosen to take part in this ministry of apostleship, from whom Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. The reason why I brought this up, I kind of debated whether I would or not, but here's something interesting about Matthias. Matthias is mentioned in this particular verse, but you will not find him mentioned again. It's a one-time shot. So what was all that all about? This is pretty interesting. So hang with me with this. In the idea of Matthias being brought forth, they wanted to do the right thing. And by the way, just to redeem the whole philosophy about Matthias, he actually did end up being martyred as one of the disciples of Jesus, but there's nothing else even said about his ministry. Zero. Well, consider this. Jesus will cleanse our temple, and that's the part we're talking about. Matthew chapter 21, verse 12 and 13. This is a good part. It says that. It's coming. Here we go. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, and you have made it a den of thieves. You know what? Right now, the Holy Spirit belongs in your life. And if you use it for any other reason, you are defiling the temple of God. Say, what does that mean? Oh, I'll break it down for you in these last few moments that we have together. It's simply this. The Holy Spirit lives in our body, the temple of the Lord. He will not share our temple with anything that is in opposition to his purpose. He said, what does that mean? Let me add a little bit more to it. Our first priority and purpose is to be a temple of prayer. If there's anything in your life that hinders you, hinders your life or your body to be a temple of prayer, get rid of it. You say, and I'm going to break it down for you in my next message, but I just want you to put that seed thought there. If there's anything that opposes that, quickly, we must keep our body pure, oh, here we go, from sexual sin. He said, oh, now he's meddling. Here we go. 1 Corinthians, foods are for the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. The body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Now he's going to be all mad. I ain't mad. I ain't mad at nobody. I'm just telling what the Bible says. See, the culture has tried to reformat what the Bible has said. And the Bible says that God has cleansed your body so it can be used for one purpose, and that's for him. And sexual immorality defiles your body. Clue phone is ringing. Pick it up. There's no suggestion here. Quickly, to the next place, it says sin is not in temptation. We must realize that compromise is not an option. Furthermore, our standard must never be set by the culture or the world around us, because they say it's okay. There are no boundaries. God's okay with this. I mean, he used to not like it, but he's okay with it now. No! Moving on. We must actually put to death everything that is in opposition to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Colossians 3:5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Well, here it comes again. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, this names those particular things, and real quickly, just let me tell you what it means. Fornication is a sin. We already talked about that. Uncleanness is anything that will defile the person or their testimony to the world. Don't tell me that's glorifying God. Come on. They say, well, you know, I'm no saint. Why aren't you? Do you know that the Bible is written to the saints? Now, a saint is not a positional relationship where you are better than anyone else, but it's over a group of people who have made a decision that they're going to live in accordance to the word of God. That's what a saint is. And saints make mistakes, and saints will fail, but I'll tell you what, when they find out they made a mistake, they repent and they get it right with Jesus so they can continue on in their relationship with him. Well, passion must be channeled to encompass the person and the situation that God has chosen. My last scripture for you today is in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. We must embrace contentment to ward off greed and wantonness. This is a powerful scripture. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I want you to leave that up there for a moment. Because I'm going to segue into something I think that will help all of us. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Covetousness is you want what somebody else has, and you'll be mad till you get it. Not good. If you're still, you say, I'm going to work overtime because I'm going to get that Beamer. That Beamer is going to sit in my driveway. And you know what you'll have at that point? You'll have driveway dressing. That's all you'll have. Oh, look at that, Beamer. This type of thing. Really? And we'd still be working overtime trying to keep it in the driveway. Okay. Another story going on. Be content with such things as you have. Does that mean we become lackadaisical and we just kind of just, oh, come see, what's que sera, sera? No, it means that you cannot build your life on discontent, but you're going to allow God to bless and to work in your life, that you will not be inhibited by anything that you do or choices that you make. Then he goes on to say this. This is what God's promise has said to every person in this room. And this is the thing that's kept me alive for all these years. I will never leave you or forsaken. Any time that you feel abandoned, it's the devil trying to convince you that God's not keeping his word. Because you are never alone. When you feel forsaken, it's the devil lying to you that God is not concerned about. He's concerned about everything that goes in your life. What goes on to this? He says, the Lord is my helper. He says, and I will not fear. What can man do to me? I want to tell you, he can do nothing to you. Very last thing is this. Do not allow the world to cause you to thirst for things to fulfill your longing and desires. Contentment is merely trusting God to use your gifts to glorify him and to maximize your potential. And when we realize that Jesus is always with us, through the comfort of the Holy Spirit, his presence will walk in security and confidence. This last week, I had the opportunity to be with one of the members of our church, and I'm going to bring her forth in just a minute. I want to tell you, and actually show you in a very practical sense, that when we apply the word of God, of what we hear, it's not anything about me, it's about him, God works miracles. We say, oh yeah, I believe he does. Yeah, he does. He probably does. I'm sure he does. I'm going to show you in a minute what God did. But several weeks ago, I preached a message, and I just said it. You know, God may want you to pray for somebody. And I even mentioned, and they may have cancer, or they may have this type of thing, but just believe and pray for them, and God can work miracles. Come on up. She's got a story to share with you. Would you receive my good friend, Sherelle? She's going to share with you something God did. There you go, my dear.
Good morning. I don't remember exactly when it was. I think it was a few Sundays ago. Pastor was preaching about miracles and about how the miracles that are talked about in the Bible are still real for today. And what was interesting about that to me is in the middle of that service and that sermon, I was really affected because I'd been dealing with that, wanting to know and realize miracles present day, like what were spoken about back then. And so it really just hit me, but it also stretched me because he was also talking about stepping outside of your comfort zone and saying yes and being obedient when the Lord put it on you to reach someone or pray for someone. And so after that service, I went to work as usual, and there was a coworker there who was really dealing with something. And it's not typical for me to walk up to someone and say, are you okay? Is everything good? Can I pray for you? That's a little stretched outside of my comfort zone. I'll pray internally, but I won't walk up to them and do it. But this particular day, I was thinking about what Pastor said, and it just kept hitting me. So I went to her office, and she just looked really down, and I said, are you okay? And she stared for a second as if to decide whether or not she wanted to tell me if she was or wasn't. And finally, she shut the door, and she started crying, and she said, no, I'm not okay. And I didn't want to really ask. I wanted to wait and see what she wanted to share with me. And then she finally said, you know, I have cancer. I just found out. And I just sat there for a second, and I was debating whether or not I should act on what was in my heart to say, do you want me to pray for you? Because it felt like I was being intrusive in its work. But I was thinking about what Pastor said and about the sermon. And I just said, you know what? Okay, Lord, here we go. And I said, do you want me to pray for you? And she started really crying, and she said, yes, please, would you? And she jumped up from behind the desk and stood up in front of me. And at that point, I was just thinking, oh, no, I don't know what I'm supposed to say. But I said, I'd pray for you, so I'm going to stand here and pray for you. And so I stood there, and I placed my hands on her shoulders, and she held her head down, and she just waited for me to start praying. And I did, and I started praying, and I was asking the Holy Spirit to really bring forth whatever it was I was supposed to say, because I wasn't really sure what the words were. I was just trying to be obedient. And we sat there like that and prayed for about 5 minutes, and I just really tried to deliver whatever it was that God had in me, because I wasn't sure what I was supposed to say. I just let the Holy Spirit do whatever the Holy Spirit wanted to do, and I just tried to be obedient. And I just said, that's what I have for you. So I just prayed, and she just said, thank you so much, and she hugged me, and that was that. And I thought that was kind of different and strange. I'd been there almost 17 years, never prayed for her before, and that was that. And then the next day, she sent me a message, and she said, hey, can you come to my office when you have a minute? And I said, I can't. I'm really busy, but if it's okay, can you tell me if you're okay, if everything's, well, you know, what's going on? Because I was waiting for some different kind of news. I thought maybe I'd hear something and need to pray more. And she sent me a message back, and she said, I don't have cancer anymore. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I was really surprised, because what do you mean? You were certain you had it yesterday. Are you sure? And she said, I said, well, was it that you didn't know you had, or you didn't have it and you were supposed to go find out? She said, no, I knew I had it. They were firm about that. They were for sure about it. I was going in to start getting treatment. And when I went in, they said, why are you here? We've checked all your tests. We've checked your blood. We checked everything, and there's nothing in there for us. And there's no reason why you need to be here. And so it was then that I realized, yeah, I said, oh, you're healed. And she said, that's what I'm trying to tell you. So that just, it just manifested for me, because for one, Lord, you used me for that. And then two, it just helped me to understand that miracles really do happen in this present day. And if you can use somebody like me to just pray and experience that with her and watch that happen, then I know that you can use anybody, because I did not expect that, because that never happened to me before in that way. So I just wanted to share.
Amen. Thank you so much. Praise God. Invite the worship team back up here. We're ready to close. I told them I was close on time today. I ended with that particular message because my subject today was preparing to receive the Holy Spirit. Pentecost Sunday is next week, and we definitely want to allow the Holy Spirit to have the right of way to do a number of things. But with every head bowed and every eye closed, I have one question for you. Are you ready? Are you available? Are you in the position where the Holy Spirit can use you? Because if you're not, you need to be. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we're going to end this service a little differently, Lord. We're going to give people a chance to go about their day, but I want to install something in them, a preparation for something that should you spare us together again 7 days from now. There'll be a release of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit will possess us in a way he hasn't before. There'll be those who will be seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit with manifestations that only you can give. But Lord, would you reveal to us anything that's not like you that we can confess right now? Because today is the day of salvation. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I don't want anyone to come forward today. You say, why? You can talk to me, I'll be around, but I want to honor a process today. But right where you sit, you're saying, Pastor, would you pray for me that this week I can just really surrender everything that would keep me from being totally used by God? If that's you, just lift your hand where you are, and I want to pray for you this week. Just lift it up high where I can see it. Because I promise you, I'm going to be praying for you this week. And our staff meeting will be praying for you this week. You can put your hands down. Father, you saw these hands. You saw these people. I pray, God, you would do this work. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.